to The Morning Shave. I'm your host, Dan Reinert. I'm coming to you from the Confined Space Studios, but I am far, far from alone. Backed by popular demand, the ever beautiful.
Thanks, Mom, for liking the show. That was the popular demand.
there was one person. The populace has spoken. We have Amanda, my better half, Reinert, in the studio. Say hello to the people.
Hi, everybody.
Should we just go ahead and discuss what happened? How we started the show?
I guess. Not proud of it. So, my husband bought me a nice bottle of wine. A bottle of wine that was from the grocery store. It was the same type that we had in Baltimore. So, it was actually pretty
Baltimore.
Nice. We just went to Baltimore this past weekend for our friend's wedding, and it was lovely, and we get to act like we're just a couple. We love our daughter. We love the family life.
She's a pain in the ass, though.
Yes.
I mean, she's great.
But she's a lot to handle.
Kids don't make life easier.
They make it better.
Better, but not easier.
Anyway, we had some wine there, and we were able to find it at our local grocery store. It was a nice surprise.
Our grocer.
No, it's just grocery store. I think grocer is like somebody that, like, it's a mom and pop sort of thing.
Welcome to the grocier.
I don't know if that's a thing.
Not here in Barbersville, it's not.
No, it's chains.
That and Democrats. It's two things we don't tolerate here.
No, they like Republican Democrats, like conservative Democrats, like Joe Manchin.
Oh, yeah.
And all of his advertisements for him shooting a gun, but running again.
Shooting, like, holes and shit, too.
Anyway, back to the story. So I spilled the wine. Spilled it all over the Confined Space studio and kind of feel like a jerk because...
So we're looking for a new studio.
We don't ever buy ourselves nice things.
Because this is America.
Because this is what happens. One of us ruins it. Either myself, my husband, our daughter, or one of our pets. It gets ruined along the way.
Now, my longtime listeners know that I've already beat Amanda to the punch. I spilled a glass of wine in the studio previously, so this isn't even the first time. I would like to point out that her glass got sat down on... What are you doing? We're not cleaning the studio during the show.
I keep finding more spots of wine.
What the fuck? Don't worry about it.
Well, no, we have to sell the house, so I'm worried about it.
The things we worry about. Anyway, there was an obstruction up on the Confined Space Studios... desk here. So if anybody might have left their bangles in the studio.
Beautiful bangles.
They're nice,
by the way.
But they're in the fucking way. And now I've got wine stains all over my home to prove it.
I didn't notice them, so I set my glass down. It tipped and spilled.
Come get your shit.
Hey, it'd be nice.
You're right. Let's get on with the show. Now you mentioned, we'll do a little recap. First of all, cheers, my friend. My lover. I should be drinking this out of a Boda bag. This is too fine a wine. This is Erath out of Oregon. Is it Willamette Valley?
I don't know.
Dundee, Oregon. I don't know. One of you Oregonians, let me know. I'm so glad my wife didn't attempt to say Oregon because it would have come out Oregon and then I would have had to correct her. It would have been real uncomfortable.
You know what? At least I don't say pop anymore.
Pat?
I had to drop the pop.
Drop the pop.
But if you come to Michigan and
usually
order
gotta pay extra
soda,
for that.
We will have no idea what you're talking about. So just say pop when you're in Michigan. Soda everywhere else. That's that.
That's that. Hey, guess what? I got new underwear.
Yeah, I've been doing your laundry for a while now.
Yeah, well, anyhow.
Because I do it better. He doesn't do laundry well.
That's not... Okay. Is this the direction we're going with the show? It's a little aggressive.
I just didn't want it to seem like, oh, we're that type of couple where I take care of all his stuff. We're gender roles. Is that the word I'm looking the phrase?
Yeah.
We don't really adhere to that. Whoever does the job the best gets it. I tend to do that job better. So.
Yeah. So like when she spilt the wine, I didn't just sit back and say, hey, I need a female to clean this up. Like I jumped into action as well.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I got new undies, and there's a reason for that. I have been saying for several years now, and it has finally, it's starting to resonate. I love short shorts, and they're starting to be more accepted as menswear. I hope that we can keep this alive longer than we did dad bod. but I love wearing short shorts. I don't have a lot going for me. My legs are fairly decent.
You do. And I'm saying that as your wife, as a female, I noticed your legs before I became your wife.
Ooh.
So you do have nice legs.
And the, what's the top of the leg called? The protrusion?
Gluteus.
The butt.
Your seat.
My seat. Nice seat on that one.
Yes.
That's how Amanda got me over. She was like, "You got a nice seat, boy."
No. We'll go down that road another day.
Yeah. Anyway, so I made the shift from boxer briefs, not all the way, but I bought me up a couple pairs of, what do they call them? Briefs. Mm-hmm. And better support. It allows for a higher leg, you know, a higher inseam on the short. That was really the idea. But I've been running around in them a little bit. It's kind of fun. So you have that now. What else did we do? Oh, we had a wonderful life lesson.
We did?
We did. Okay. So I think it was about a week and a half ago, our daughter, who is still in potty training, and doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah, she is.
She didn't listen to the show, so I can tell the story and not feel bad. She pissed in her car seat. She was trying to hold it. She didn't quite make it.
I blame hepatitis A for all this. So there's a hepatitis A outbreak in...
Wild and wonderful.
Our current state. So I couldn't remember when I got one. A hepatitis A shot, that is. Not hep A. So I had to go to Walmart to go get it because it was the cheapest place and our insurance doesn't cover it. So I went to Walmart. And... Long story short, she didn't want to use the bathroom there. She doesn't like public bathrooms. I get that. It was a long...
Especially Walmart in West Virginia. Like,
it was a long wait for
my shot.
Not
where I would choose to shit.
I should have been more firm and said, hey, we have to do this here. So there was an accident. I didn't think it was going to be too big a deal. I played it off so she wouldn't get too self-conscious. I'm like, you're fine. It happens. Mommy, daddy, it happens to everybody.
The aftermath?
Yes, the aftermath. And so... I tried to take apart the car seat. I had to take it all out.
It's
take
such
it
a pain
completely
in the ass.
Apart, car, take the
like
stuffing
the non,
out.
The non-parents and the listening crowd, car seats are the biggest pain in the ass
it's
ever.
It's worth going to your health department, your fire station, whoever, to get a proper training on how to install it.
That was a PSA. That's mm-hmm. that's a pod first. Or pod first PSA. PPSA.
Okay.
Anyhow. But the lesson in it was that as we were putting it back together, I have always struggled. I'm a pretty big dude. If you have not seen me, I'm a large man. And I was giving this thing a yank, like trying to get the seat to tighten up. Couldn't ever figure it out. So I finally said, you know what? I'm going to go to the one place, you can learn to do everything. And that is YouTube. And sure enough, like this old lady showed me how to put it in super, super tight. There was a hidden compartment on the seat. And you feed the belt this way, and then just a quick flip of the wrist, and that thing is locked in tight. So very, very long story short, what we were so upset about was an actual blessing because for the first time in 3 years, and yeah, I'm embarrassed to say this, for the first time in over 3 years, my daughter's car seat was finally properly fastened.
Okay, I'm going to at least give us two, because the first year, a good friend of mine, car seat technician, she installed it for us, and it was beautiful, great car seat.
Beautiful.
I know.
Great.
I just channeled Trump.
Your words, not mine. The other thing, so there is this condition where people stay up late sometimes and watch YouTube, and then they get super into things, and I have that condition. I don't know what it's called.
Your granddad also had that condition.
I think it's ADD. Anyhow, I got it in my head that I'm going to become a canoe adventurist, and that's the problem with people like me, is that not only do we get into things that require a lot of expensive gear.
If anybody wants some nice hockey gear,
oh, yeah.
We have
it was only
some
used
nice
like 6 months.
Please help me.
Yeah, if you're a large man, I have a full set of hockey gear I will sell to you for pennies on the dollar. But anyway, so I got it in my head that I was going to start going on like canoe and kayak expeditions. My first trip, by the way, is going to be from Manhattan, Kansas to Kansas City, Missouri. I'm going to float the Kaw River. That's what the locals call it. Yankees call it the Kansas River. But yeah, I think that looks like a really cool route. The only thing I need is all the equipment, the time, the courage, and a canoe.
And the technique.
I can YouTube that. This is a very aggressive guest. I don't know how often we'll have her back. Oh. It was pretty fun. It was pretty fun. Let's see here. Should we tell everybody what today is? Today is?
May 29th.
Yeah, so it's been 20 years since Slick Willie. Yeah, it gets hot in here, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Since Bill Clinton was acquitted while he was being impeached. I listened to The Daily. It's a New York Times podcast, and they did a story about it today. It's worth listening to if you're my age and you don't really remember, you weren't really cognizant during that era. That guy was a real shithead and pretty gross. And I actually, for the first time today, understood why people were so distrustful of the Clintons.
Okay. I can't say that he's a shithead. Former AmeriCorps member. He developed the program for AmeriCorps, and that taught me a lot in life, and it was a fantastic experience. So, I don't...
So, people aren't all fully rotten?
No, not at all. Not at all. But, yeah, so, AmeriCorps, woohoo!
Very cool. Yeah, like, sometimes people do really great things, but then they also do really disgraceful things.
Yeah.
Like, now former... So, you want some breaking news? Now former Governor Eric Greitens... Disgraced Governor Greitens. Mm-hmm. That guy was a Navy SEAL. That's pretty damn admirable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Admirable.
Admirable, yes.
Admirable. Yeah. Very impressive, and I think we can all appreciate his service. Fast forward, the dude's a dick, and now he is former Governor Greitens, who left swinging. Wouldn't even. So he, there are allegations... against the former governor that he raped a woman.
Ugh.
And then he blackmailed her. Oh, it gets better.
Wow.
Yeah. Then he blackmailed her by taking pictures of her naked and tied up and saying, if you ever tell anyone about this, I will release these naked photos.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. We call that disgrace. That is not something that any armed man or woman... would be proud to own up to.
Armed forces, you mean?
Armed forces, yeah. That's a disgrace. It's a disgrace to people that have served, and that is a disgrace to the Navy SEALs. And good fucking riddance.
Sorry,
Eric Greitens.
That was me wiping the floor.
Yeah. See you later, brother. See, you know, everybody had him pegged, too, as, like, the future of the Republican Party.
I did not realize that.
Happy, what's the phrase? Happy fucking trails, man.
It's a good song.
Happy trails to you, you fucking scumbag.
The lesser known lyrics.
Yeah, there was there was like that Garth Brooks like magic third verse.
There's another verse that we didn't.
If you like Culture Wars, the last couple weeks that I've taken off traveling, having fun, and studying for the GRE, which is a real bummer. There's been some real exciting things. Okay. Anyhow, today, Roseanne Barr. What happened there? What was that about?
You know, I liked the show. I did. I grew up watching it. Working class family, blue collar. We had to fight hard to make ends meet at certain times. But we did. And... so there is that dynamic that I could identify with, but I loved John Goodman. He's great, and I love the comedic timing. Roseanne, take it or leave it. Most likely leave it for me, but the show, it was just something that was nice to see as a kid. That hey, you're not the only family that goes through this. But that tweet, wow.
So I won't repeat it because it's fucking gross. Roseanne Barr, happy trails as well.
Yeah, agreed.
Here's the thing. Amanda basically stole all my lines. very similar. It is the show that made me fall in love with John Goodman. The timing on the show is very good. I didn't it was so nice. And I've talked about it on this show a couple weeks ago. I talked about how it's just a nice portrayal of what, for many people, American life feels like. And I wasn't necessarily on one side or the other of the jokes they made, but I understood it was just a nice forum and a nice piece of art to give to the world. And I enjoyed it. I mean, Amanda and I, every single week, would, usually on demand, we would lie down and watch the show together.
We're old, so our bedtime is 8:30.
We're super lame.
No, but I love the dynamic with John Goodman.
Yeah.
What's his character? Dan is his character.
Dan Connor.
I loved his interaction with his kids. I just thought that was, he was just such a teddy bear. And
he was.
I love that. And
is.
Yes.
So the first thing that went through my head when I saw today the story break, that, you know, Roseanne had popped off at the mouth, or at the tweet, popped off at the thumb.
Well, at the tweet, that's even worse because you had time to think about it, to make this.
There's no fucking excuse.
And then hit send. And then
no. There's no excuse.
Is it send is okay? I don't tweet.
I think it's a.
No, what's the button? All right, just let me know.
What?
The Raven. We haven't talked about that.
Get it? Okay. Hang on a second. We're not done with Roseanne yet.
Sorry, the wine hit me.
Yeah, literally. It also hit my carpet and my door.
This is my carpet.
Are we going to get into that fight right now? Really?
I found the carpet.
Anyway. Yeah, she's a disgrace. I think it speaks volumes to the decision that ABC had to make in today's day and age where everything seems to be about the dollar. The president of ABC, and I don't have her name directly in front of me, but she is a woman of color, and she said they put out like a one-line message on it, and I absolutely love, as a budding PR guy, I love one line, we're done with the show. What she said was, you know, reprehensible, something to that end, and that was it. What sucks, the very first thing that went through my head when I saw this was how my parents taught me to never say, like, life is unfair or that's unfair or whatever, so you won't hear me say that. But I'll say things close to it, and it's very unfortunate for her, all the people that work on the show, you know. It's like one thing to, like, fire Roseanne and take away her show, but think about all the people that worked their asses off to get that show back together. Yeah.
The crew, the writers.
Yeah, and, you know, just like that, just because she decided to be selfish and put her stuff before her. That ain't working on a team. And I can already imagine what the dumb fucks on Fox and Friends are going to have to say tomorrow morning about it. You know, I can just see Steve Ducey's, like, smarmy smile, like, hey, what happened with the First Amendment, right? Huh? I guess that's only when you're liberal? No. It's nobody saying that she didn't have the right to say it. There's a difference between being within the lines of the law and being morally right or wrong. She was in the wrong, but the beautiful thing is she works for the man, and the man, which in this case was a woman of color, said, yeah, we're not going to tolerate that. We're done here. And she was fired. It sucks for the crew. It sucks for the rest of the cast, but it was so nice to see the right thing happen. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out. You know, to me, the decision to close down the show, to fire Roseanne, and then to, you know, which essentially shuts down the show, it was actually a pretty easy decision to make.
I would agree.
She said something awful, and I think ABC is playing the long game on this. She said something that was awful, and again, we're not repeating it on this show. But what the hard one. This is like easy fodder for us to get all excited about for a couple days. And this is the part that sucks. This is easy fodder for us to get all spun up about. You know, you'll hear people say, oh, I'll never watch another show on ABC again. You know, I doubt it. But the harder one is fighting for systematic change. So all the people that are supporting Roseanne getting fired, I would encourage you and implore you to find something that is happening in your community and fight for that systematic change, because the systematic racism in this country is the real problem. And it's the harder problem. It's easy to get on Twitter and hit the heart button and say, yeah, I like it that she was fired. Mm-hmm. The harder one is to identify something in your own backyard that is putting people of color in the back seat and preventing them from enjoying and having the life that they deserve.
And on a related note, shout out to Starbucks. I'm a former barista. Today they closed.
That's Spanish word.
Today they closed their stores to do a training on
racial sensitivity.
Yeah, racial sensitivity, inclusion, and I know a lot of people really hated that. They didn't close the whole day, but they closed for a very important reason, and I really hope that it becomes a space that everybody feels welcome, not so that they make more money, but so that people can just go there to work on homework, to meet with friends, to have a moment of peace from your toddler.
Yeah.
And for those that say, why didn't they just do this in shifts? Coming from somebody that used to work there, it's so hard to fit in training because the hours we open it at, some places open at 5:30 and some places don't close until after 11. And I was the night crew. We a lot of times didn't leave till after 1 in the morning. It's impossible to do that. You have to sign off and say, yeah, I did this training. A lot of times we lied. I probably shouldn't say that.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I don't work there
anymore.
Here
comes Schultz. Schultzy!
He's going to get me. So it's the perfect and important thing to do.
They're at least trying.
Exactly. They're at least trying, and they're making it a priority. And a lot of people say, hey, they're doing this as a social media ploy to get more people to like it, but...
Nah.
I mean, we'll see. Tomorrow they release what the training was. But I think and I hope that it's going to be something that will make a difference.
The only thing I would challenge Starbucks to is to maintain it. Are we running out of air in here?
A little bit.
Yeah. So my wife Amanda is like running for the door because, as I said in the last episode, there's not a lot of cool air moving through this place.
Well, we have the vent covered by a nice rug.
Formerly nice rug.
It still is beautiful.
Yeah, it's got its flaws.
Thank you, human. Thank you, Shonda.
But yeah, so...
she's the one that gave us the carpet.
Yeah, no, I know who she is and what she did. She also gave us Sammy. Shout out to Sammy. While we're shouting out, Henry Dunphy told me a couple weeks ago, I was trying to talk up how great Roseanne was, and he is like, you know, what is Henry?
I don't know.
Super lib? He's got a few liberal tendencies, I would say. And he was like, nah, dude, she's a real shithead, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, dude, just enjoy the show for what it is. It's good comedy. It's funny, blah, blah, blah. Sure enough, I am eating crow in the studio and washing it down with Erath Pinot Noir from Oregon. We're going to take a quick break, get some air in the studio, and then come back. And we're back. We had to re-air the studio.
Checking in our little pants. That's our daughter's nickname.
Little pants. She's still in one piece.
Yeah.
Little bread and butter.
She does love bread and butter.
Anyhow, moving on. Should we keep going on the culture wars theme?
I guess. I don't know. What's your outline?
You ever heard of the NFL? Have you heard about this NFL thing?
Yeah.
So listen.
It's the only girl in my family. I know a little bit.
Yeah. So here's the thing. The NFL, that stands for the... National.
Sorry, that was totally sexist. Girls can watch football too.
Yeah, truly.
And I did, and I do.
So I'm going to mansplain to you something. The National Football League is this organization of football teams. Now, this is like American football we're talking. Football American.
Yes, not soccer.
Anyway, this week the owners came out and they said, the NFL came out, the owners. They came out and they said, any player that kneels during the national anthem shall be fined. If they want to protest, they can protest silently in another part of the building. That, to me,
is fucking ridiculous.
Makes my skin crawl a little bit. Now, there are multiple sides to this. Is it a freedom of speech issue? Well, I don't know that it is, because it's a private organization. So one part of me says, okay, the NFL reserves that right. However, it does not set a good precedent. And I am very interested to see what the players and the players' union do in response. I was kicking around ideas with Amanda, and I said, I think that on the very first two snaps of the game, the first snap of the game, the offense simply kneels. And on the second,
they're the ones with the ball.
Yeah. Maybe the defense lines up offside so that everything is.
They don't have the ball. They want it.
Yeah, something. But something has to be done, in my opinion. A couple weeks ago I told you I'm done with the NFL, period. And I'm kind of leaning towards being done with football, period. But it was more out of, the whole CTE and damage to our kids and to our heroes. I mean, I grew up loving football. I played it. I love it. I get goosebumps just thinking about, going to Arrowhead on a Sunday morning and partying with my friends and going to the stadium and just hearing and feeling the roar, the loudest stadium in the world. It's an energy that I haven't seen duplicated anywhere else. But, as you get a little bit older, you start thinking about this stuff a little more, and you start thinking about the players and the players' families, and it's just hard. It's hard to watch. So I was already pretty much done with the sport. Hey, looks like my daughter Annabelle is joining us.
What would you like?
I want more toys.
Toys or toast?
Toast.
You want some toast?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for joining us. So this segment's brought to you by Toast with Butter. So I was already pretty much done with the NFL. And then, I had talked about the way that they handled sexual assault by their players, and the NFL is impotent when it comes to dealing. Their PR team sucks. It absolutely sucks. They're just not good enough when it comes to reading the temperature of the United States, reading the temperature of situations, and making a good decision. So I would encourage all of my listeners to not watch the NFL this year. Is that asking a lot? Yeah, it is. And are any of you going to listen? No, probably not. And I honestly, if I was you, I probably wouldn't either. But I would encourage you to at least think twice about what it is you're seeing, and what it is that they're showing their true colors, whether you agree with the protest or not, I think is separate. I think that we can agree that the NFL is not good at dealing with this sort of thing. But I'm a labor guy, and I've talked about that in prior shows, and I'll continue talking about it. I think the players' union needs to make a strong, strong stand on this. I'm not saying the NFL can't do this, but I think it's real fucking dumb. And I would encourage our players to remember who's watching. I think the Jets came out and said that they would cover the cost of whatever fines the NFL doles out. I'd like to see a so-called constitutional crisis with the NFL and its owners. Maybe the players just don't come out. Maybe no one goes out on the field. It'll be really cool. It'll be really interesting to see what they decide to do. I think that's about all I'm going to say about the NFL. I'm kind of done with their shit. We'll keep talking about it, but overall, I'm done. What about you?
Yeah, agreed. I missed most of it. I was making a snack for our toddler. But I think it's not a solution.
It just comes across as very tone deaf to me.
Agreed. It's President Trump sunk his teeth into this to get support. And it was a movement that had nothing to do with him at the time. I mean, now he's president, so it is a movement that has to do with him because he affects policy and affects change. However, I think what Colin Kaepernick did was very brave. He used his platform to make a difference. And if I was in the NFL, I would take the fine. I could support my family, everybody could eat, everybody had a house to live in, I would take the fine.
I'll leave it there. I don't think I could add any more to that. Can we talk TV? I know people think that I just sit around in my off time watching TV. And
no, you already mentioned the GRE.
Yeah, I did. I prepped for the GRE.
So impressed.
Everyone is so impressed.
Oh, I'm teasing you.
No, my GRE scores were mediocre at best.
For not studying and just watching YouTube videos.
I did. I hate to say it. I watched, for 2 weeks, I looked at YouTube, and I rented a book from the library.
It's not renting. You checked out a book.
Yeah. Rent free.
Oh, my God.
Anyhow.
I love libraries. I'm there every week.
I do too.
Support your local library.
Yeah, please do. Please. Go and get my book. When we were in Baltimore, as Chris Collinsworth would say, Al Michaels. That's Al Michaels. We caught a movie that kept us up way too late. Man on the Moon, featuring Jim Carrey. And it's a story about Andy Kaufman. Wow. That was pretty good. It took me off guard.
I mean, the only thing I know about Andy Kaufman was that he was in Taxi. And Taxi was a show that my parents used to watch.
Yeah.
That's it. And then I watched this movie with you.
Yeah, so Jim Carrey really is brilliant in the movie, but it also stars Paul Giamatti, who I absolutely love, and then as well as Danny DeVito, who I noticed, I've noticed this before, but it really, there's this scene in the movie towards the very end, and you just catch this look on Danny DeVito's face, and he has a very, very warm face. And he's one of those guys that, like, when he does drama, it is quite good. I think he's known a little bit more for his comedic side. But when he does drama, he really nails it. Kind of like Robin Williams did.
Hmm.
Like, Robin Williams was obviously a comedian. Very, very funny. Most of his stuff was comedic. But when he would go straight, when he would play it straight, it really, really landed. And I see a lot of that, too, with... with Danny DeVito. But anyhow, what I didn't know about was this character that Andy Kaufman, the real Andy Kaufman, used to play, Tony Clifton. And holy crow, that guy had me in tears. I was laughing so hard. The way that Jim Carrey portrays him, and just the way that, like, Andy was a very peculiar guy in that he did not give a damn what the audience thought. He was more interested in making himself and, like, one or two of his buddies laugh. That's what was important to him. Which, did all of his stuff land? No, a lot of people didn't think so. But God dang it. There's something to be said for that, for being that dedicated to your craft. But also, my goodness, some of the stuff that he came up with was just brilliant. So if you haven't seen it, this is like 20 years ago. This is about the time.
We're late to the party on this one.
Yeah, this is about the same time Bill Clinton was making friends with Monica. But can I say that? I can say that.
I don't know if you can say that.
It was a little greasy.
That was a little borderline.
Yeah. Anyhow, go see Man on the Moon. It's quite good.
What was the character that he played?
Tony Clifton. Mm-hmm. Fuck you! I ain't going!
If anybody wants to know what my life is like, that is the response to just about everything when I talk to Dan. That's my
that
life.
That is so untrue. That is so untrue.
Sometimes you get a hug and an I love you, interactions with a toddler, and yoga, and that's a day in the life of Amanda Reinhardt.
What she does actually have to deal with is me talking to myself constantly, working on jokes constantly out loud, and then doing impressions to myself all the time. Like, I'll be standing in the studio with nothing turned on, just like doing Tony Clifton or... you know, whoever the flavor of the week is.
That's it. Yeah, the flavor of the week, which I'm happy it's with comedians and not life partners.
Yeah.
I like being your life partner. So.
Aw, that was really sweet.
Aww.
I like you, too.
Okay, no, anyway. More mushy stuff.
Do we want to talk about the Kennedys?
Yeah, if anybody has book recommendations for the Kennedys, I was never really too fascinated by the Kennedys. I mean, I know a few things about them, but I started on Netflix. Again, it seems like all we do is watch Netflix and TV. It's not the truth, but somewhat the truth. Robert Kennedy for President. I just watched one episode, and I would like to read up on their lives, all the Kennedys. I know they're a Catholic family, traditional Catholic, so they didn't use birth control. There was a lot of them. Let me know if there's a book that I should read. I would really love it.
To all the Catholics out there that don't use birth control,
good for you.
I salute you.
Figure that out. We're Catholic.
I salute you.
Birth control all the way. Only have one kid.
Yeah. It's fine. one room Catholic.
My grandmother, she was the traditional. She had 10 children. My dad is one of 10. So, couldn't do that.
Should we talk about our dirty weekend in Baltimore?
Wait.
It was our weekend in dirty Baltimore. Sorry. I should have rephrased that. So this past weekend, Amanda and I, first of all, special shout out also to my parents for driving all the way from Kansas City to West Virginia to watch my beautiful, beautiful daughter, Annabelle. Can you say hello?
You say hi.
Oh, now we're going to be shy? It's my guitar pick.
No, thank you.
So anyway, Granddad and Yaya came all the way to West Virginia. They brought Eli, and they all played together this weekend. Don't touch that. Please don't touch. But anyway, so that allowed Amanda and I to go to Baltimore for the weekend for my friend Diane's wedding, and it was an absolutely lovely affair. They were able to get a spot on the USS Constellation, and there were a lot of cool folks there, and I'll get to that part in just a second. But we had a really nice time. We got there at like 11 p.m. On a Friday, and you know, I grew up in a city, but I like things to be a little slower. We got out of the car, and it was bedlam. Like there was a soccer tournament in town. There's kids running all over the place. They were like honking horns, telling us where to park, they wanted to charge $37 a day to park the car. It was just mad. It was absolute madness. So we get up the next morning, and we're having our breakfast and everything. So we go walking around. We went to Edgar Allan Poe's grave. We went to the Basilica in Baltimore.
Which Edgar Allan Poe is one of my favorites.
Why is that?
It was kind of a moment when I don't think I fell in love with Dan because I was only 16. Not to say that 16-year-olds don't know what love is. They probably do. But I really just became enamored with him. He was reading that The Raven poem in our English class, junior year. So I might have been 17 at the time. And I just remember, like, wow, who is this guy? Where did he come from? Because he didn't move to Pinckney until
I was 15.
Sophomore year. That was a little special moment that I remember from high school.
So anyway, so we were in Baltimore. We were staying right around the corner from Poe's grave, and we walked there, and it was just a really nice, cool, surreal moment. Just to think about, like, you know, the remains of this person that had an effect on so many people, and so many people have read his stuff. You know, it's just one of those things. Anytime you visit a grave, I think it's a pretty strong experience usually. But silence in the studio.
He's teasing you.
Somewhat. Send to daycare.
Summer camp.
But summer camp.
Summer camp.
Do you go to summer camp?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. But anyway, just to be there and to be in that presence was pretty cool. But anyway, so we did that. It rained its ass off while we were in Baltimore, and I felt so bad for Diane and Jason. However, it was perfect. The wedding was absolutely perfect. There were, you know, we had it on this ship that was built in the 1800s, and It was so cool. The food, for one, was fantastic. The music was good. But the coolest thing about the weekend for me was I had this realization, and I can't explain it, but there are, for some reason in this world, amazing people have a tendency to attract amazing friends and amazing people around them. And I think the opposite's probably true, but I don't want to talk about the negative side. The people that I met at Diane's wedding, cousins, family, friends, people that had met Diane throughout, her life, it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. Like, you know, we made good friends with a woman named Vicky, who lives in Zambia, and we now have a standing invitation to go and visit, you know, a friend in Zambia, which I never would have guessed in my whole life. But we had that. Diane's family was just absolutely as sweet as can be. All of Jason's friends and family were there. It was just a big, nice group of people. And it was just really neat. I just really enjoyed. And then, like I said, the next day I woke up and I was like, something happens. Like, God makes a choice. I'm Catholic, so I put it to God, but good people just attract good people. And it was so much fun getting to know all these different people that were attending the wedding with us and hearing their stories. And I mean, just remarkable, you know, people that are doctors and people that are doing amazing things in technology and people that are doing amazing things with the Catholic Relief charity, you know, working in Africa, and people that work for the Ministry of Defense in the UK. I mean, it was just absolutely incredible to have that group of people around. And it felt so good to just kind of take a step back and look at life and see how beautiful it can really be. I hate to get too mushy or anything, but it was really, it was such a pleasure. And I enjoyed every moment, and I wish my friends Jason and Diane the absolute best in life. I think they'll do fairly well. It was just, you know, with all the noise and all the clutter in today's politics and in today's world, it was so nice to take a minute and just be removed from all that and just be surrounded by good people with good stories and good outtakes on life. It was just really cool. That's it. That's what I'm going to leave you with. Thank you so much for being patient. I know that I owed you guys a lot. I would implore you to remember that I'm doing this as a hobby, but mostly I was trying to prep for the GRE and get my act together for grad school. So I'm going to go ahead and bring this to a close. Amanda, do you want to close with anything? Did you have anything that was any hanging chads? Happy trails. Eric Greitens. See you in the funny papers.